Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 301.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom.
All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 301. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your support. So we did it. We did it. We crossed 300, the 300 podcast mark. It's absolutely fantastic. I say we because I couldn't have gotten here without you. I literally wouldn't be here. I mean, can you imagine if I was doing this for no one? All the students that follow me, that follow my podcast, follow my show, that watch my videos, that learn jazz piano, and go after their pursuit of all of this. I mean, this is what it's all about. It's about your effort. It's about you striving to accomplish this amazing goal. That's jazz piano. And by following me, supporting me, encouraging me, I mean, I get encouraging emails from students saying, Brendan, thank you so much. What you're doing is amazing. That's so encouraging to me. And I truly appreciate that. And again, people say all the time, a lot of the program members of Jazz Piano School, the members and the personal program members that I teach in my private programs through Jazz Piano School, the Accelerator program, you know, people are like, are you actually like this? Are you this energetic in person? And if you jumped on a live Zoom call with me, I've been doing a lot of live Zoom calls, then you'll know, yeah, this is me. This is who I am. It's not some sort of like social media show. It's not for the business, you know, this is literally how I show up almost every day in life. Obviously, I have down days, but I try to keep my spirits up as best I can. But again, thank you so much. We had an amazing Zoom call, live Zoom Q&A with myself, my staff, Trent Sterling, amazing professional jazz pianists. We answered the questions of the people and students that were on the call. It was recorded. It's live on my YouTube channel by going to youtube.com/jazzpianoschool. You can see the 300th podcast episode. It's a live Zoom Q&A with some amazing information. And it was just so fantastic. It was so awesome. It was so memorable. I'll never forget that day. I promise you. It was like, man, that's what life's about right there. So anyway, thank you. And with that being said, the show goes on. So here we are at 301. I mean, I'm not stopping. I'm still going, you know, 400, 500, 600. Let's go for 1,000, right? I'll probably be 90 years old, but whatever. So in this particular episode, Sterling is going to be teaching on sensitivity, touch, and attack. And it was one of the questions that got brought up actually in the 300th episode because we've never really had an episode about this. So he was really eager to tackle the subject. So of course, I let him do it, and that's what you're going to get to listen to today, and it's absolutely amazing. So anyway, if you're a first-time listener, definitely subscribe to the podcast through Apple Podcasts. I'd love a five-star rating and review if you are enjoying this podcast. Don't forget to go to youtube.com/jazzpianoschool if you want to watch the video lessons. If you want to listen, you're just listening to this right now, obviously you're not watching the video lessons because the video lessons are much shorter. I don't have this talking intro because a lot of people on YouTube are eager to get right into the meat and potatoes. But if you do want to go to YouTube, you can go to YouTube and watch the video lessons. And definitely don't forget to hit like and subscribe to my YouTube channel to get the latest updates for all the educational videos that we release. Okay? That's about it. That being said, here we go.
Hey, everybody. It's Sterling again. In this week's podcast, we're talking about touch. Now, in jazz piano education, especially here at JPS, we talk a lot about the what, right? What chords, what scales, what sounds good over, you know, solo sections, all these tools that we can have at our disposal make original statements, especially improvising at the keyboard. We don't always talk about the how. So the how can be important for adding expression to what we're playing, right? Sometimes the what can be just a means to an end, but what about how to get there? So today I'm going to show you some ways that you can work on the how with your touch. Now, some of you may have a classical background. Me, myself, I personally studied classical for a long time from an early age, so I was fortunate to have that early on. And a lot of great jazz pianists had that background. You know, somebody like Oscar Peterson, for example, you can hear it in his playing. He's obviously got the what in terms of all the beautiful language and vocabulary that he uses, but it's also how he uses it, right? So he's a great example of that. Now, I don't necessarily think that you have to study classical piano in order to get a good touch on the instrument or be able to play expressively. You know, there's plenty of pianists that didn't have that background that still play in a really nuanced and expressive way. But how do we get there? So that's what I'd like to help you with today. We're going to start with a fun exercise. And what I want you to do, if you're following along at home, is just put your hands together and get some friction going. So we're just gonna rub our hands together, just like science class, you know, back in fifth grade. We're gonna rub our hands together until we feel some heat, some friction creating heat between our hands. And let's do this for about 20 seconds, 30 seconds, before you start really feeling that heat develop between your hands. Might need to go a little faster. And stop. Now create an imaginary ball between your hands. And you should feel some energy flowing. You should feel the blood circulating. And I want you to pay close attention to your fingertips. I feel this energy going in between my hands like a ball, and I feel almost like there's electricity coming from my fingertips, sort of like Star Wars, right? Darth Sidious. So I want you to pay close attention to this energy flow and that energy that you feel emanating from your hands, and just observe it. Observe it start to dissipate also. The longer time that passes, you know, that energy goes away. And what we're left with is a nice sensitivity, especially in our fingertips. So our hands have a multitude of nerve endings, and especially in our fingertips, they're really sensitive. That's why when you burn your fingertips or parts of your hand, you know, it really hurts a lot because they're very sensitive. And this exercise is meant to just draw attention to that sensitivity and an awareness to the sensation of the fingertips. So this is something that you can do before you sit down to the keyboard, you know, once you warm up and everything. Before your warm up, just do a little, generate a little heat, a little energy, a little friction, and then just observe, you know, that sensation, the feeling of the hands and the fingertips especially. And then when we go to the keyboard, we've got an added level 70%. Of awareness. And that's really what we're looking for here, is awareness. So what I want to show you today is a simple way that you can think about adding to your current routine of technique and drawing some awareness to the sensitivity of your touch at the instrument. So what we're going to do is just do a simple scale warm-up and focus on our touch. So you should have some sort of technical routine, some sort of major scale routine. If you don't already, what I like to recommend is just two octaves, both hands. So we go up and down with eighth notes with those two octaves. And what we want to experiment with is having variety of articulations and volumes in our playing. So what I just played was a nice legato, meaning connected, smooth scale, at sort of like a medium volume, right? Well, how much do you practice your scales at a soft volume? What if we play them at a piano, or a pianissimo even? So that has not only a different sound, but a different feeling, right? My hands, I'm going to use a lot less pressure when I'm touching the keys, and just an overall lighter approach physically to the keyboard, right? For contrast, what if we play forte, if we play loud? Right? That has a totally different sound and also a different touch. I'm using a lot more pressure. I'm not pounding the keys. My fingers are not leaving the keyboard. They're still staying on the keyboard the whole time. But you'll find that you're using maybe some muscles from your back, from your shoulders. You know, we're not hunching up too much, but we're still staying in a nice relaxed position, but playing with more force. So that's something to explore with your scales. And we can combine those dynamics, right? So we can go soft to loud or loud to soft. Let's start piano and crescendo, louder to forte, and then back down. What if we do the opposite? What if we start forte and go down to piano and then back up to forte at the end? So that's something good to experiment with, to have more variety in your touch. When you get more advanced at these scales, this is very effective to do with four octaves as well. So I'll go from loud to soft and then loud again with four octaves. My keyboard wants to hold onto some of these notes. That's a little strange. But you get the idea, right? So four octaves, we can do soft to loud and then back. By the time you get down to the very bottom, you have to be at a pianissimo, right? As softly as you can play, because you've got a lot of time from the top back down to the bottom. So it'd be forte, maybe mezzo forte in the middle, and then pianissimo, the quietest. So by practicing these scales with a variety of dynamics, we can have a variety of touches that we use at the keyboard. And your muscles will get used to different approaches to apply those said dynamics. Now the next thing we want to think about is articulation. We use dynamics, now let's do some articulation. How many times have you practiced scales with staccato notes, short notes? Right? So that's a good touch to be able to use when you need it. We can do that at a variety of dynamics. We can combine both principles. So I just did that at about a mezzo forte. What if I did it at a pianissimo? Right? How about fortissimo? So you can practice that in all 12 keys, and it also is a great way to just kind of mix up your scales, right? Just to kind of keep things fresh. So we did legato, we did staccato. We can also do something in the middle that would be called marcato. So something like, like the notes are separated, there's still a little space between each of them, but they're longer sustained than the staccato. So by practicing those three articulations, staccato, short, marcato, sort of in the middle, and legato, long. We're getting our fingers a little more nimble, a little more used to playing a variety of articulations. And that will really come in handy when we go to improvise. So the next time you're practicing improvising, think about your touch, whether you're playing So What, whether you're playing a 12-bar blues. See if you can throw in some different articulations, some staccato, some marcato, some legato, and use a variety of dynamics. Pianissimo, mezzo forte, forte, maybe even fortissimo when it's getting really exciting. And this will just add to the how on top of what you're already playing. So I hope this has been useful to give you some tips on how you can practice your touch. And if you have any questions, leave them in the comments section down below. Thanks. Happy practicing.